me welcome you all again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and ask, as our brother Dan Lawrence stands before us to bring us God's Word, that you would truly lift him up in your prayers, and that you would also consider your own selves, that the Lord's, by the power of His Spirit, would open your ears, would open your hearts and your minds, and that we would truly be able to take God's Word in and benefit from it, be closer to Him, and be His children. So with that, I'd give you your brother and mine, Brother Dan Lawrence.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Jerry. And by way of introduction, I hold the office, priesthood office of teacher. I attend the temple lot local. Frequently have been called into the missionary service in Mexico, both in Yucatan and in the main part of Mexico. This morning, as I was getting dressed, I told my wife that I was going to be preaching on a teleconference this morning, and asked her if she thought I should wear a suit coat or not. And she didn't think that it was necessary, but just in case I did wear a tie. So I'd like to tell you that this morning, this hour is our Sunday school hour here at the Temple Lot. So I have my Sunday school class with me, and we have been studying the Articles of Faith and Practice, and are ready to discuss Numbers 3 and 4. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over these two in the form of a sermon more than in the form of a Sunday school class. So by way of introduction of these two articles, number 4 starts out by saying that we believe men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression. And number 5 says we believe that through the atonement of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. So we're going to use as our primary text this morning 2 Nephi chapter 1, 2 Nephi chapter 1, and we're going to be using parts of verses 94 through 128. So that's going to start on page 84 of the Book of Mormon. I'd like to begin by reading the last verse of that text, and because this verse kind of sums up my attitude when I'm preaching, when I'm offering the Word of God. And that's going to be verse 128, found on page 86 of the Book of Mormon. And I have none other object, save it be the everlasting welfare of your souls. And that is my task as a preacher, as a teacher, to offer things that would be of value to the welfare of your souls. To that end, I would also like to read out of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to begin at the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 30. And this sort of sums up what it is that we're going to be talking about this morning. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And I think I'm going to read just that verse, and we'll come back to the rest of it at the end of the sermon. So keep in mind what we're studying this morning is that we believe men will be punished for their own sins and not for the sin of Adam, for the fall of Adam and Eve, and that we believe through the atonement of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances. So let's begin now in 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 94. And this is Lehi speaking to his family. And now, my son, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. Again, not for any personal gain or glory or fame, but purely for profit and learning, for the edification of those who would hear. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purposes and the end of man. And I'd like to talk about God's eternal purposes. And, excuse me, to kind of give us a little light on that, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. And, you know, we often wonder, why did God bother to put us here? Why did he create the earth? Why did he put man on the earth? And kind of the age-old question, what is the meaning of life? And a lot of people struggle with that, and I have no problem with it at all. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to begin at verse 26. I'll read two verses. And I may, hold on just a second. I'm sorry, it's chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Chapter 37, two verses 26 and 27. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I think this is God's purpose in creation, is to raise up a righteous people. All through the Bible history, we see God wanting to have a people who would glorify his name, people who would praise him, not only with their mouths, but with their works. And we see it in the garden. We see it in the people prior to the flood. We see it in the Hebrew children. And finally, we see it in Christ's gospel, where he is told to take the gospel to all the world, for the purpose that there would be a righteous branch, a righteous people, people who would love God and follow his commandments. So let's continue in verse 97. And to bring about his eternal purposes and the end of man, after he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition. And this is a basic concept of the scripture, that there is opposition in all things. Verse 98 says, even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet, the other being bitter. And of course, he's speaking about the tree in the Garden of Eden, the one that had the forbidden fruit and the one that had the tree of life. Wherefore, the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. And what he's speaking here about, of course, are the two spirits, the two forces that are in the world, the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of the devil. And everything that we do, everything that we think, all of our decisions are influenced by one or the other. And, of course, our job is to sort that out. Our job is to heed the Lord's spirit and put away the spirit of Satan. And the two cannot mix. In Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord speaks of this. Excuse me, chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 24, a verse I'm sure you're all familiar with. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve the Lord and the devil at the same time. How many references talk about a well that cannot give both sweet water and bitter, a tree that cannot give both good and bad fruit. Man is acted upon by these spirits, and it's our job to sort these things out. Let's continue now on page 85 of the Book of Mormon. If I'm going too fast, or if I don't, if you don't catch the references, please speak up and let me know, and we'll get you back on track. I'm going to continue on page 85 of the Book of Mormon, verse 101. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven, wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. Whenever I see the words "that which is written," it piques my curiosity. I want to know, okay, where is this written? And of course, we hopefully know that that was written in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. So we're going to go there, and we're going to read those verses. Chapter 14 of Isaiah, I'm going to begin at verse 12. And we're going to see another basic concept here. We're going to see what it was that enticed Adam and Eve in the garden. We're going to see what it is that entices men of all ages to sin. And beginning in the 12th verse of chapter 14 of Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He said, I will be like God. And it's not that what he said to Eve in the garden. He said, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the concept of much of our postmodern thought, that truth does not come from any outside source, but truth comes from within the individual, that if you just apply your superior brain power sufficiently, you can come up with the truth. You can find, like they say, the truth that is in you. And this is nothing more than the same old concept of you can be like God. You can find that truth within yourself, and you don't need God. This is a falsehood. This is a serious falsehood that pervades our society, that people say, I don't need religion, I don't need God, I can do it on my own, I can have my own truth, you can have your truth, and everything's happy. But we know that's not true. We know that there is a truth that is true for all men everywhere, throughout all of time, from the beginning of creation until the end of time, and that truth comes from God and His Word. So let's continue in the Book of Mormon on page 85, and we'll continue with verse 103. And because he had fallen from heaven, speaking of Lucifer or Satan, having sought that which was evil before God, wanting to be like God, and because he had fallen from heaven and become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he said unto Eve, yea, that old serpent, who is the devil, who is the father of all lies, wherefore he said, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And this is that original temptation. Let's continue on this at verse 115. And remember that the things that we're discussing are that because of the atonement of Christ, we're no longer under the condemnation of the sin of Adam. So, reading verse 115, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And that's the concept of the Redeemer. That's the concept of Christ's sacrifice, that by the power of that last great sacrifice, death and resurrection of Christ, that we are no longer under the condemnation of the sin of Adam. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, if for no other reason than the sheer beauty of it, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and any of you that are familiar with a really marvelous work of music by George Friedrich Handel, the Messiah, a piece for orchestra and choir and soloists. These are verses that he put to music in a most astonishing way. And if you've heard that piece, then you'll remember these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And this is that concept of the redemption and the Redeemer. Excuse me. Continuing on page 86. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. And in a different way than Satan offered the knowledge of good and evil, Christ offers us a knowledge of good and evil through the power of his Holy Spirit to prompt us and to encourage us to do the good, but recognizing the evil. Remember that there has to be an opposition. You don't understand heat if you've never experienced cold. You don't understand freedom from pain if you've never experienced pain. They become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which have been given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. So we have a freedom to basically do whatever we want to do. We just have to understand that there are consequences for everything that we do. And if we know that there is a good and an evil, and we have the Lord's Spirit to prompt us, and we don't go with that, then we have to understand that there are going to be consequences for disobedience. Verse 120, they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. So it's entirely up to us. We have the choice. We can determine what our destiny is by the choices that we make. The word liberty here in verse 120 is a very special word. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is freedom of choice, freedom of thought. We make a lot of liberty in our country in that the concept of a government that is not going to disallow the freedoms of the people, freedoms that are given us by God, cannot be taken away from us by our government. But even under an oppressive government, we have a liberty that comes from God that may never extend beyond our thoughts, that we have the liberty to consider good and evil and then act. I'd like to read in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 of Galatians, where it speaks of this liberty, and it's such a precious thing that we have the freedom to choose, the freedom to, like I say, set our own destiny and determine our eternal condition. Chapter 5 of Galatians, I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's saying that we have liberty, but with any privilege comes a responsibility. We have, for instance, if we're old enough and we pass the driver's test, we have the privilege to operate a motor vehicle. That doesn't mean that we can operate it in any manner that we wish. I mean, we can, but if we choose to operate that vehicle in a manner that's not consistent with the law, then we have to be willing to take the responsibility for that. If we drive too fast, then the consequence is that you're going to get a ticket, it's going to cost you money. So with any privilege comes a responsibility. We've been given the privilege of liberty of thought, liberty of action, but with that comes a responsibility to use that in a manner that edifies the people around us and brings glory to God. So here in Galatians it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the key. The key is walking in the Spirit, having Christ's Spirit with us to lead us, encourage us to do the right thing. Speaking, back into the Book of Mormon on page 86, it says of Satan, verse 121, he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. The Book of Mormon tells us that wickedness never was happiness, but the world doesn't see it that way. Many of the things that the world does to bring happiness, or what they think is happiness, only brings misery. How many times have we seen families destroyed because of drugs or alcohol or gambling or any other kind of consuming sin like that? It's Satan's desire that men would be miserable. It's in God's desire that men would have joy, like it says in verse 115. Men are that they might have joy. And joy is a concept that's really kind of different from just happiness. It's a joy that comes from knowing the Lord and following Him in all that He does, with the eternal consequence of eternal joy. Speaking of that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I don't think so, I think it's chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about this liberty, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start at the 21st verse. And remembering that we have the liberty to choose, eternal life or to choose captivity and death. It's within our power. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table with devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me. All things we can, like I say, we have the liberty, the freedom to do whatever we want to do. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So we can do what we want, but we have to understand that there are things that are right and proper. There are things that edify, that build up, that strengthen both our own souls and the souls of those around us, that strengthen the church, that strengthen the cause of Christ. If I'm wearing a T-shirt that indicates to the world that I'm a follower of Christ, and while I'm wearing that shirt, I'm doing things that aren't consistent with Christ's gospel and Christ's commandments, then I'm not edifying the gospel of Christ. I'm tearing it down. I'm crucifying Christ over again. Let's now continue in 2 Nephi on page 86. Let's continue with verse number 122. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator, that's Christ, and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. It's our choice. When we pass from this life and the time comes that we stand before that great judgment bar of God, we're going to understand that we made our choice, that this isn't, it's not going to be any surprise what our fate is. We're not going to get tricked into losing our salvation. Just for instance, one of the prevalent concepts right now is that of the mark of the beast. And down through time, there have been theories as to just what is this mark and how is it going to happen. And so often there's a concentration on that to the point where we feel that there's going to be some kind of conspiracy or some kind of trick, and we're going to end up with that mark without even realizing that we did it. And that's not how God works. We choose. If we know what that mark is, it's going to be a conscious decision to accept it and reject Christ. And that will be our choice. We'll have a total understanding of it, and we'll have the consequences of it. So continuing, I'm going to back up to 123 again. And be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. By our choice, we give Satan power over our souls. I have spoken these few words unto you all, my sons, in the last days of my probation, and I have chosen the good part, according to the words of the prophet. He speaks of his days of probation. We are, all of us right now, if we're living and we're breathing and we're thinking, we're in our day of probation. We're in that trial period of our lives that will determine where we spend eternity. A verse, I'm going to back up to a verse that I didn't read earlier on page 85, verse 107. It says, "All the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. That men might," I'm repeating in verse 107, "that men might repent while in the flesh." We read about God's purpose in verse 97. This is man's purpose. This is really the whole purpose of man's existence. Excuse me. To make that choice, to live our days of probation in such a manner that we make the choice of where to spend eternity. So if someone asks you, what's the meaning of life? It's real simple. To make a choice. To choose to either follow the Lord or follow Satan. So let's continue. Finish up here on page 86. Verse 127. "I have chosen the good part, according to the words of the prophet Jesus. And I have none other object save it be the everlasting welfare of your souls." I'd like to finish with reading the remainder of that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. Give you a second to find it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." And, of course, he's speaking to the people who were about to enter the promised land. And in a larger sense, when he's speaking to us now, in the era after Christ's death and resurrection, that takes on a larger meaning. That promised land to us is... The promised land of them is symbolic of our promised land being eternal life with Christ and God in heaven. "That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." That's our goal. That's our commandment. Choose life. "That both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Brothers and sisters, this is my hope, that each of us would live our lives in a manner that would bring glory to God, that we would choose liberty and eternal life, that we would not use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but rather we would in all things heed that spirit that leads us to choose the good. God bless you all, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Benny, is there announcements? Do we have priesthood meeting tonight, or Yeah, I have a priesthood meeting scheduled. I'm going to have to make some phone calls this afternoon to see if I can get anybody but you and me there.
Okay.
I'm almost to the point of saying maybe what we ought to do is defer priesthood meeting, but let's try to have it. It may be a very short one.